live to live righteously. Hey, it's me, Richie T, and it's time for another episode of The Cultural Hall. It's episode number 179, wherein we talk with Steve Solberg, a comedian, and he talks about a new DVD release from Deseret Book called Peculiar People. So stick around, especially at the end when I'm talking with Steve and I ask him the question that we ask all of our guests, what is your favorite part of your faith? Make sure you stick around to hear his response to that question. It is normally that question answered is one of the most spiritual, but this has got to be by far the most humorous answer to what is your favorite part of your faith. So stick around for that. Just a couple of emails, though. One that I think I may have shared already, and if I have, I apologize. But I wanted to make sure we share it. We try and share as many emails that come in as at richie@theculturalhall.com or via the contact us tab at theculturalhall.com. But I wanted to share these couple emails with you. One says, I thought episode 175 was an interesting contrast. You had one guest who had a bad experience with the church and church leaders, and the other guest in the same episode has an amazingly positive experience, and she is representing the church the way that she feels inspired. The episode was a great example of stories that are shared on the Cultural Hall and the relevance of the show. I like to hear all the stories, and I feel enriched from getting to know my fellow saints better. I enjoyed the episode very much, as I do with most episodes of the show. Keep up the great work, Michael. Thank you, Michael. And I appreciate pointing out that balance. It's something we really strive here in the Cultural Hall. And then second, this email from Adam. He says, hey there, I was thinking about your show. I remember you talking about American Ninja Warrior and that there was an LDS contestant. Did you know Brian Arnold, who was on that show, grew up in my ward in Ohio? He says, I don't believe he's currently active, but he has two brothers that served missions and are still active. I thought you might find that interesting. Thanks for the show. Not podcasts, Adam. So, Adam, I sent an email back and said, you know, we'd love to chat with him and talk to Brian about his Mormon upbringing, if he'd be willing. We'll have him here in the Cultural Hall if we can track him down. But a lot of great episodes of the Cultural Hall coming up. I'll just tease a couple. We have next week, we've got the folks from Beauty Redefined. They're a group that talk about, defining the beauty of women not by the outward appearance. It's a really great episode. We have Lexi in to talk about that. And then the week after that, we have a woman who wrote the blog, a Not Typical History of a Mormon Person. Shoot, I'm getting the name of it wrong. But basically, she talks about how she came to the Mormon Church from a way that maybe you wouldn't suspect, or certainly not a very common path to the LDS Church, and how she's been able to stay within the walls of the LDS Church, making it work for her. So stick around. Those are episodes number 180 and 181, respectively. Coming up, though, like I say, it's Steve Solberg. Remember, you can always find us on social media at The Cultural Hall. That's Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. You can find us on Google+. You can always send me an email with guest suggestions or comments if you want them read on the show, richie@theculturalhall.com or the Contact Us tab at theculturalhall.com. We love hearing from you. We love doing this, and we appreciate you taking the time to listen. Coming up in the second and third block, it's Steve Solberg, a comedian and member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hey, it's time for the second block of the Cultural Hall, and on the phone with me, because I couldn't wait to talk to him for when he got back into Utah, Mr. Steve Solberg. Thanks for joining me, my friend.
Oh, man, thanks for having me.
Steve and I have known each other for a while. Steve, in the process of this interview, I'm going to take you to task a little bit.
Oh, okay.
You've done something.
Take me to where?
To task. I'm going to give you the hard-pressed questions.
To task. Good. That's what I want.
You've done something to upset me, and we need to set the record straight.
Oh, sweet. Good. I like that we're doing this.
and we'll get to know you.
Cool.
So I want to clear the air. Let's start there, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's not mention names, okay? Let's not talk about these things in specific, but let's generally talk about them.
We should rhyme the names so that if it was like Phyllis Diller, it'd be Billis Hiller.
Exactly. You've done another Mormon show before.
Oh yeah. I have. Right. It would be, what are they called?
That doesn't matter, really.
No. That's right. That's not actually my roommate. So that show is that's my old roommate.
Okay.
And so that's our connection.
Okay. That to me is the only permissible answer and explanation. And to that, I'll just let it go.
Right. In fact, it's really funny because I called him not to talk about duty at all. I called him because he went to Paris recently and Estonia, and I missed out. Because he was like, you should come with. So I was working some events the same weekend, so I couldn't go. And I just wanted to call him and see how it went. And then he goes, hey, hop on this here podcast. And so I did. I can't resist.
Yeah,
I'm very easily tempted sometimes with podcasts.
The nice thing is, though, Steve, and I imagine you have not at this point listened to an episode of the Cultural Hall before.
I listened to one that you did with Keith Stubbs.
Okay. So that was a good long time ago, because I think Keith was like episode number 19 or 20, and your episode number 170-something, 179,
I
think.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Hundreds of episodes later. Wow.
But the nice thing and the difference is that's just a little podcast, and this is and what you're on right now is a show. So.
Yes. Well, I like shows more than podcasts, to be perfectly honest.
Crap. Okay, let's be done talking about that. So that's cool. You and I have worked together through the day job stuff, and you've done some stand-up comedy for us. For people that are listening already now, a couple minutes into this, they go, man, that was sort of awkward. Steve is a stand-up comedian, member of the church, and part of a new DVD project called Peculiar People.
Yes. And we are all fairly peculiar, I hope. On the DVD.
I think that from the list of names, and I don't think that there's a name on there that I didn't recognize as I was kind of going over it, but it's essentially clean, good, poking fun at ourselves, Mormon humor, and just clean humor, right?
Right, yeah. It's all just clean LDS humor. Some of it's just humor in general that's just clean. The producers are good friends of mine now, and they were... When Jesse Rainey was one of the producers, and he kind of sought out all the comedians, and he's like, I just want clean guys and girls who are comedians and who happen to be LDS. And so I felt really happy that I got hooked up with them, because it turned out to be a pretty stellar show. Like, I love, Heath Harmison is another comic who's LDS and is doing this full time, and Aaron Woodall. Are just some of my favorite, comedians to work with. And so it was cool to be, like, part of that.
People that hear it, though, and go, oh, LDS humor, I think that everyone's automatically, whether they're willing to admit it or not, goes, are we talking green jello jokes? Are we talking, and what's the deal with lots having lots of kids?
Yeah, right? And it's like minivan, so here we go. I luckily try not to, because I hate that stuff. I don't want to joke about, polygamy or any of the typical things that people sort of tease about when they're joking, or green jello, when they're joking about LDS people. I want to do what I find funny. So those ones, you have every right to roll your eyes, anybody who is doing that, because I do the same. So my jokes were about a time that I went home teaching with my dad, and a cat threw up on me.
Yeah.
And just, like, weird stuff. Yeah, a little bit gross out at the same time. But yeah, I like story-based stuff a lot. So,
The thing that I like about story-based comedians, and, you know, reading bios about you from different shows and things like that, it says Steve Solberg is a story-based, and it says that, I think, in a couple of the bios. The thing that I appreciate about that the most is that for the large percentage of the time, I'm not going to hear jokes that are going to sound like something else I've heard before, because these are experiences that you have had and your relation to the story. So I almost find myself enjoying the story-based comedy more.
Yeah, because it's definitely, there's no way it can't be original. Unless I'm stealing stories, but these are my own stories, so... I haven't stolen any stories, but yeah, I think it makes the content a little bit more unique, and that's kind of part of the reason I started doing more story-based stuff, is because I was like, good, no one will ever be able to sort of copycat me.
Comedy, definitely a rough thing, I think, to do. We'll get into that a little bit. I just want to make sure I touch on the DVD. One other question that I had, and then we'll get to know Steve Solberg, the man behind the behind the microphone. You said it was a stellar show to be a part of. Are you talking that then that whole thing is one night at a club and it was recorded, or is it everyone's bits and pieces from different times they performed?
They just did a one-night thing. We just went to, like, this venue that was sort of thrown together. It was like a pop-up comedy club.
Okay.
In a warehouse that they decorated with IKEA furniture. you know, nothing says comedy like floating orbs.
Yeah. It's a Schlindorf. Steve, it's a Schlindorf.
Is this the Dusseldorf? This is the Kniggler. yeah, something with lots of K's and V's.
Yep.
And, but yeah, so they just threw it up and we did a show. I mean, I don't know if I should tell you this, but I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
So I hope it's funny. I remember it being funny and everybody saying, it's really funny, like people who've seen it. Like, apparently, Sherry Doo's a fan. She likes Stuart, which I don't know if that's true. I really, really hope it is. And I hear, actually, she's really funny, which is kind of interesting because the persona that I get from what I've seen in, like, general conference and other talks that she's given, I'm not going, this gal likes to laugh, you know?
You know who's the laugh riot? Sherry Doo.
Yeah. So they told me that she is a big fan. That she's a Steve Solberg fan now, which I don't know. I really want it to be true.
I hope that somewhere on the DVD it has a little thumbnail picture of Sherry Doo. And it has like a little quote of her saying, like, I thought this was hilarious.
Just a little pop-up.
Yeah.
Like I think that we should do one of those, like, extra reels, you know, where you can have, like, commentary, like the actors, but not the actors, just have, like, Sherry Doo commenting after jokes or something. And I wonder what she would say. She'd be like, that joke was really trill, or something like that. Just like something. I don't think you would say really trill, because that's like really true and real and really. But anyway.
Steve is such a nice boy. What a pleasant joke that was. That's the kind of stuff I think of.
He seems like he parts his hair well. Like a good Sherry Doo compliment.
All right, so people can pick that up now. It's called Peculiar People. You can find it online. You can find it at the regular places, Siegel Book and Deseret Book and all that kind of stuff. So now let us learn about Steve. You're from, not Utah, from Washington.
Yeah, from the great Pacific Northwest. Grew up about 15 minutes south of Seattle in a fair city called Des Moines, which a lot of you know is Iowa. but there's also one in Seattle. You can Google it. Yeah. And it's right there by the water. It's pretty.
Lots of Mormons in your community? Were you raised LDS?
Raised LDS. At my high school, there were three of us. Yeah, so not like in my grade. So I guess there was more than three, but not more than 10. Uh-huh. You know, the whole early morning seminary experience, and my mom was my seminary teacher, and so it was a smaller LDS community, which I kind of, I think people who grew up in that situation really like it, and I'm also one who really liked it. I thought it was great, but now I live in Utah, and I'm surrounded by everyone in LDS, which is fun too.
Is it still great, or do you yearn for the days of not being surrounded by Mormonism?
Sometimes I yearn for those days, because the trickiest part of being LDS is getting caught up in the culture and mixing that with the doctrine. And I think that happens in Utah a lot, unfortunately, where people confuse what is cultural with what is spiritual, and they need to be totally, I don't know. I mean, life is life, and so every part of it is part of it. You can't really separate. I mean, I'm LDS all day long, so whatever I do that's culturally is also technically based in my religion because it's part of me, but at the same time, I think in Utah that's tough because you're surrounded by people who are in the same boat, and then you go, oh, wait, if they act that way, but they're also LDS, you can get very confused. And so that's the tough part about living in Utah, but I think that's just the case of numbers because, like in Seattle, where I'm exposed to 10 people who are LDS versus now I'm exposed to, you know, thousands. Thousands? That makes it sound like I have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
Literally tens of people.
Yeah. Where there was just 10 in high school. We're talking tens. Tens of people.
Tens.
Sherry Dew. And Sherry Dew is one of them.
Yeah.
Was mom and dad converts, lifers? Give me an idea of background family and that kind of stuff.
Mom and pop both LDS, so not converts. But both my grandparents on both my parents' side came from part member family homes who also both later converted.
Okay.
So my grandpa and my grandpa on my mom's side and my grandma on my dad's side.
Did you serve a mission?
Yep, and the good old Canada-Montreal mission.
Okay. Where is Montreal in relation to Seattle? Forgive me for not knowing Canada.
No, that's cool. It's the northeast, so Quebec, kind of Quebec province. And, so I was one of the Frenchies over there. But everybody who goes to Canada-Montreal mission, you're either Spanish-speaking, it might be different now, but when I went, you were either Spanish-speaking or you were French/English. So if you already spoke French, you would learn English. English, also. if you've ever been to English.com.
Yeah. Actually, don't go search there. I just looked.
Oh, no good? My little brother went to Korea, so I've been to that one. You either learn English or French.
Pretty good experience on the mission?
It was a good experience. I think sometimes we joke a little bit on that mission because a lot of people come back from like the South American mission saying, people are so lovable, and most Canadians are quite lovable, but sometimes French Canadians are not as lovable as the rest of Canada that we know, who are like, oh, sorry about that. And, you know, like, they're very nice, whereas the French Canadians are like, get out of here. Their swear words are, I don't know that I should talk about their swear words. I just realized that this is a weird thing to say, but tabernacle, huge swear word in the French Canadian language. So,
what?
The Mormon. Yeah. So tabernacle is tabernacle en français. And if you say the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, it is the equivalent. I hope this is okay, but it's kind of like a very strong swear word for them. So every time you would say the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, the kids would all giggle, and the adults would be like, yeah, we know what you're talking about, but you should know you're swearing. So, very tricky for us up there. Anytime the choir would sing, you would be... the Mormon choir would be the more appropriate way of saying it.
It's the Mormon from the choir.
The Mormon choir. Yeah, it was kind of an awkward thing, but also funny.
Being someone that's observational about life, and certainly one for stories, I would imagine that a mission was both really, really rewarding as far as it propelled you for the rest of your life, but also pretty difficult.
Right, right. You know, it's funny. I haven't used any, like, mission stories in my stand-up at all. And you would think I would, but right now it's been... I guess I just haven't, like, thought about even accessing it because I work with so many... you know, I just do regular comedy clubs, and sometimes when I start to explain things, like I do the home teaching joke, and I'll do that joke at regular comedy clubs. But there's that moment where I'm like, me and my dad were home teaching companions, and the audience is looking at me like, ah, he's homeschooled, you know? Like,
yeah.
They don't know what I'm talking about when I say home teaching. So I haven't done any mission story jokes.
Well, I think that you should, if I may offer the critique, let me throw this out
please
here. I think you should, for one show, even if it's only for me, so you can tell me how it went, I think you just go full-blown, like, Mormon everything, and then be the guy and the comedian, and everybody knows this kind of comedian if they've ever been to more than one comedy show, and especially seeing the openers, the guys who feel like they need to explain everything. So like with your home teaching joke, it'd be like, so me and my dad were home teaching. Okay, so I guess I should probably explain that home teaching within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, otherwise known as LDS or Mormons, we are assigned families that are given to us by an elders quorum president, and so it ends up becoming so laborious that the joke can't even exist.
Yeah, you're just like drowning in this long explanation going, is this going to ever end?
And the cat puked on me. Right?
And you wouldn't guess what happened in the home teaching situation right before we were about to give the lesson, which is found in the beginning of the Ensign magazine, which an ensign. Yeah.
Exactly. And some people say that it could be pronounced ensign. In fact, there are lots of homes within LDS culture that fight about the pronunciation of it, so much so that they put the pronunciation in the beginning of the magazine saying that either or are correct. Anyway, so we're about to do this.
Does it seriously say that?
Oh, yeah. Have you not seen
really?
That?
No. Gosh, I don't pay attention. You could say ensign or ensign.
Yes. And the reason I'm convinced that it's in there is because there were enough people that emailed or sent, you know, snail mail or whatever you want to call it into the church and said, is it pronounced ensign or ensign? You know, because that's what affects salvation.
Yeah, it does. That's a powerful question, and it probably should be emailed to the prophet himself. Like, he can sort of put the issue to rest.
And see,
I feel like in Idaho, it's ensign, maybe?
Yeah.
Whereas everywhere else, it's ensign.
Well, and rural Utah. I mean, you've got all of rural Utah that considers it ensign. Oh, it's the ensign!
Which has got to be a pretty big, strong proportion of the church, really. Like the rural.
And see, for people who don't know what rural is, the prophet, he just start explaining everything away.
Creek. Yeah.
So you get home from your mission, and then what? BYU, is that the thing?
I did Rick's College.
Back when it used to be Rick's.
When it was Richards. And then BYU Hawaii.
Oh, really?
Up over there. Yeah. I lucked out.
Is it common for people to do that? I always thought that it was kind of you pick one or the other, but you don't ever do both.
I didn't plan on it. I was a runner. I ran on the Ritz College cross country team, and then it was when they switched over from Ritz to BYU Idaho, and they dropped their athletics. And so the Hawaii coach, Norman Kaluhi-Lokalani, or Coach K, as some of you may know him,
or as some of you may prefer to call him because you can't pronounce the other,
because you can't say Kaluhi-Lokalani from Kaneohe. He lives in Laie now, but he grew up in Kaneohe. Too much information. Regardless,
see,
he came
a
over.
Coach. He's a running coach
us.
Of athletics at the University of BYU in Hawaii. Now, BYU means Brigham Young.
University.
Yeah.
And then hyphen. David O. McKay had a revelation about it. He did. But, yeah, anyways, he recruited me to go run in Hawaii, and I ran there, and I loved it. Because it's paradise. It makes zero sense after you live there that anybody moved any other place ever. Now I live in Utah, so I'm a total paradox. Is that the right word?
Yeah,
either way, I don't make sense because I just said it doesn't make sense to live outside of Hawaii, but all my family lives, well, all throughout the U.S. and some international, but still, I'm closer to them when I'm not in Hawaii.
But you just decided you couldn't make a go of what you wanted to do in Hawaii and came back to Utah.
Yeah, you know what? Just to be perfectly honest, it's hard to be a stand-up comedian in Hawaii because your gigs can only be in Hawaii, really. Mm-hmm. And also, you get up on stage and they're like, this is a white guy, and I'm in Hawaii. I want to see, you know, a Hawaiian guy. I want to see a brown guy up there.
Right.
And so you can't. And I think they're right. So I'm in Utah.
So being in Hawaii, going to BYU Hawaii, going to Ricks College before it was BYU Idaho, you knew that what you wanted to do was stand-up comedy?
No, I thought I wanted to. I did. I did pre-med. I wanted to go to medical school and be a doctor. And so I studied that. When I graduated, I did not apply to medical school. I ended up just working at a genetics lab in Salt Lake at Mary Genetics for a few years. And that was when sort of comedy was like picking up for me. And finally, I got to the point where I was like, wait, this could be a job. And I really, really liked that idea. And then it also, I think that the world just needs people who are like dedicated to being clean comedians. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while to justify being a comedian in my head because it did sound like kind of a spoofy career. Like, well, but you should do something that's real, right?
Right.
But now the more I do it, the more I've been like, oh my gosh, this is a real thing. And people really need this. Like, we need people who are making us laugh, who are also clean, and those things. Making us laugh first, but then also being clean.
I want to take a break for a minute, and I want to come back, and I want to talk about what exactly it means to be a clean comedian. If you've always been that way, and a little bit more what life brings you at this point. So let's take a break. We'll come back in the third block of the Cultural Hall.
Hi, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City. Many of our customers are computer experts with decades of experience that are so smart they know how to build their own computers with their own bare hands. Yet they buy their computers from PC Laptops because of one thing. The PC Laptops Desktop Lifetime Parts and Labor Warranty. If a video card blows up, normally you'd have to mail it to Chumbawamba for weeks to get service. Imagine having your computer down for weeks. Experts buy from PC Laptops because time is money. And if you have a part fail on your PC Laptops desktop, we will replace it forever for free. Get a brand new PC Laptops desktop for just $7.99 with a lifetime warranty at any PC Laptops locations. While supplies last, $7.99, you can't beat that deal. Please visit us at any one of our locations right now. Call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. Desktop computers with a lifetime warranty for just $7.99.
All right, Steve, I want to do to you what I hate when people do to me.
Oh, cool.
So go ahead and be funny.
You got it. I'm dancing really funny right now. And
right.
My knees are doing a thing. There's a facial expression that's silly.
It's about the worst thing in the world, but it seems like 50% of the people's automatic response when you tell them, hey, I'm a stand-up comedian, entertainer, performer,
right.
Then immediately they go, all right, idiot, now dance.
Yeah. It is everybody's temptation, and I guess I should, like, forgive them for that, because they're like, okay, I get it. Because I make lame jokes when I meet somebody lame. Yeah, like Roxanne, you immediately start, Roxanne!
Right.
Like, she doesn't want to hear that.
No, and she doesn't want to turn on the red light either, I've heard.
No, neither one. She's heard it 1,000 times. And so, yeah, they expect a joke. And, I don't know, I guess I should have one sort of canned joke at the ready.
You don't have a canned joke?
No. Well, I used to do the joke that I did about the same hormone that's released when you're in love is also released when you're afraid.
Uh-huh.
And I do this in person with them, and they're like, oh, really? That's weird. Yeah. And so I said, yeah. I use it, just show up on all my dates, just ring the doorbell, and then, hi, every day, you know, just scare them. And when you're in person with them and you jump at them, they usually jump back and get them to laugh.
Yeah.
But it's an aggressive joke. You got to scare them.
Right, but you got to commit to it. You have to commit to it, too, because otherwise, geez, poof.
Yeah. And if they don't laugh, then you're like, okay, well, I don't know what to do.
I've got mine. May I share it with you?
Yeah, I'd love it.
Sorry, you're a single person, correct?
Yeah.
It takes a bit of a dig at single people. I hope you're all right. I hope you're thick-skinned enough.
Definitely.
So a single girl, she walks into a grocery store, right? She picks up all the stuff that a single girl would buy, you know, the TV dinners, the smaller, you know, packages of tuna fish, the small laundry detergent, everything that a single person would buy. She gets to the checkout aisle. She puts her stuff up on the conveyor belt. She looks at the guy, the teller, and he looks at her, and he looks at her stuff and then back at her. And making conversation, he says, so you're single, huh? And she, very exasperated, is like, yeah, how did you guess? And he says, because you're ugly.
Oh, my gosh. That's sad.
Yeah.
Because you're ugly. Yeah, that is actually true.
But my favorite part of it, though, is it's the only clean joke I know. And you can tell real quick whether or not people are going to be able to joke around stuff when you take something a little harsh like that and just be like, okay, now I know where you're at on all this.
If they're like, oh, that's sad. then you're like, okay, self-esteem with this person, a little lower than it needs to be. Let's help them out.
Treat them with some kid gloves here.
Yeah, that is the saddest shopping trip is when you are buying those single dinners, TV dinners, man. There should be like a it is for single people. That's who they're for.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to buy less of them because I think they kind of make you depressed a little bit.
There's a little too real. There's no guy that goes, you know what my wife is really going to like? If I buy two of these, if I sit down with her and go, hey, look what I stuck in the microwave for you, babe.
I got two hungry mans going. If you're pretty excited about that.
That means we got 3 minutes. So I want to ask you, it has to be a conscious choice to work clean. First of all, take a brief second. I think it's pretty self-explanatory, but tell people what it means to work clean. And then have you always done that, or what made you choose to do it?
Right. So working clean, just as a comedian, obviously, it's just telling jokes that aren't, you know, the dirty, typical stuff. So your language is clean, but then also your subject matter is going to be more what everybody could hear, like where you're like, yeah, this is going to be a PG
rating show. So just like that. And to work, but as far as choosing to work clean, I definitely did. I've talked to a lot of talked to a lot of other clean comedians, and then also just read some articles. I don't get to fraternize with like Brian Regan and stuff like that. Some of my friends do, and they tell me, you know, what he's like, and he says that, he's like, you know what, that's just how I want my comedy to be. But that's who I am as a person. I'm not going around swearing a bunch at home, so why would I do it on stage, mm-hmm. you know? And I mean, I'm the same way, but I want my show to be one where it's like, if my parents came to the show, they'd be like, yeah, this is great, or whatever. If my family came, they'd be able to bring their kids and stuff. But at the same time, when I was new as a comedian, I did have to choose to be clean. Because sometimes your brain is pretty eager to write jokes that you're like, what? That's not who I am. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that, I know that sounds like, oh, well, what do you think about Steve in your spare time? Nothing. But you guys all have brains, and you know how your brains are. Sometimes they write dirty jokes or laugh at dirty things or whatever. And it can be pretty tempting to be like, this gets a pretty quick laugh if I talk about this. So yeah, I had to choose.
And are you happy they made the choice?
Oh, man, extremely. I know that none of my comedy friends, they're great people. Like, if you write dirty, I don't care. Like, whatever. You do what you do. And you be great at it. I think that's wonderful. Everyone's got to pursue their own, you know, path. But the advantage to being a clean comedian is that you can do corporate events and shows like that, which pay a lot better than bar gigs. Bar gigs are awful. Oh, my gosh. And I've done them. And I've tried to do them and be clean. I did a bar gig once where they just wanted me to be a Kevin Bacon impersonator. I don't know why I agreed to it. And instead of paying me, they were like, okay, here's the deal. We don't have $50, which is what I agreed to do it for. He was like, I don't have that, but I can get you a tattoo or a piercing, wherever you want. I was like, oh, man, so lucky. So, on the small of my back, a butterfly.
Yeah. So,
just a cute little tramp stamp. So that's why I don't do bar gigs anymore.
So you're able to make a living now doing your stand-up comedy?
Yeah, I mean, I do stand-up, and then I also do a lot of MC work for, like, different companies. Like, I work for, like, I'm in Colorado right now doing a race for Ragnar, and they put on just long-distance relay races. And then I work for Color Me Rad. I used to work for the Zombie Run. Mm-hmm. So I didn't anticipate that would be part of it as well, but so I do probably about 25 races a year, and then I fill in the rest of the holes with comedy weekends.
Jeez.
I'm on the road a lot.
Let me ask you this. Being a single person, how old are you?
35. It's my birthday today.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Steve, happy birthday.
Thanks.
Excited
about it.
So being 35, being single, being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, how is that for you? All of those things.
That is a package. That's a lot of stuff that you, it's wrapped up in there. Because I think being older and single in the LDS Church can be a little bit of a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. I'm not going to say it's easy, but at the same time, I'm still in the boat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just didn't feel right to
to ever depart from it, because I don't know, that's where I'm happiest. So, but yeah, I totally get it. It's tough being older single, especially in the church.
So what is it? Because it is, I think it's 7% of men over 31 or something, single men over 31 that stay within the church.
Oh, really?
Something ridiculously low like that. That statistic may be flawed.
Sure.
But I do know that it's less than 20%. So how have you navigated that? Because there are people who are listening to this going, yeah, that's me, and I'm, you know, one person making a comment about my beard away from leaving this place, or you know what I'm saying?
You know what? I think it was a personal thing where ultimately that was where I was happiest, but I mean, another thing is just enough experiences with the Spirit. I mean, I know that I don't want to be corny here, but that is it. I mean, that's totally it. You need to have those experiences with the Spirit in your life, and honestly, if you're having that, you can't leave. Like, I mean, I guess you could, but it's like, honestly going, do you want mint chocolate chip ice cream or would you like to eat dirt?
Yeah.
Like, I'll have the ice cream, please.
Yeah.
I know that's maybe too silly of an analogy, but yeah, I don't know. Even just last general conference, there's a lot of my, you know, I've had quite a few friends who have left. And that's hard when that happens, and I think your brain goes, should I leave? Like,
yeah.
My friends are leaving the party. Is this time to leave?
Yeah. Do I want to be the last one hanging around at the party when the party's over?
Yeah. Is it done? I don't... And, yeah, last general conference, man, it was just like, no way. No way can I leave. You kidding me? You listen up to all the sessions of general conference, I don't think you're going to be able to leave after. I really feel strongly about that. And, yeah, so that's why I'm still in the boat. It's partially because of just general conference, and then partially just because it's those experiences. Like when you're at home alone, just reading scriptures or whatever, it's good stuff, so.
Have you been close to being married before? Now let's get personal about that.
Have I? Yeah, I have been. I don't know if too many people have known that. But yeah, definitely. There's definitely times. And I'm proud of people who have said that they've never had those times and they've always been faithful. But, man, I think it's... Because this life has turned out different than I planned. I think... If you had talked to me when I was, 10 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, I'll for sure be married by my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be reaching, halfway point there, it's like, oh, boy, that was not what I planned. And so, yeah, so you go through those moments where you're like, maybe stuff isn't. And then you start to get second guess things that you don't. Like, is my patriarchal blessing correct? Is everything... maybe this is all just a thing that I'm dreaming up here. And I think people go through that, but ultimately I'm like, no, it's not, because it's like the fruits of being in the church and of like being faithful they've all been there. They've all worked out for me. So sometimes some of my close friends say they haven't, and that's okay. I'm like, you know what? Be true to yourself. Do what you need to do. But for me, this is being true to myself. So I like it that we can have that like mutual respect for each other and support of our own decisions and stuff like that.
It's interesting that we think about our younger self and we go, oh, yeah, we've got this planned out, and this is when this is going to happen, and this is this thing, and I know when this is. And, you and I about the same age, and I didn't get married till I was 30, And you know, that for me, I thought that I would be married long before that, and I dated a lot of people before that and had really great times and really great experiences. And this is the cliche thing for me, where, you know, I met my wife, and dating her was absolutely and completely different than anyone I'd ever dated before. And you go, oh, cue the music. But I couldn't have met her a day before, almost quite literally, I couldn't have met her a day before the day that I met her, and it would have worked out.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's one of those things where I don't know if that's any sort of, like, hope or anything like that, but it got to the point where, for me, I just was like, meh, whatever. And then a series of poor life decisions, a span of self-destruction, and then pulling myself out of it and going, hey, you know what? Here are the things that I want. Here's the things that I need. And then it was like, oh, hey, cool. God's presenting me with the things that I want and I need. Awesome. I'll take those things. Sure. Thanks, man.
Cool. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because I bet it is difficult. Hey, what's your name? I'm Steve. What do you do for a living? I'm a stand-up comedian. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I hesitate sometimes when people ask me, because a lot of times I'll be like, oh, I work in entertainment.
Right? This vague, this sort of, I want to see where this goes before you judge me for this specific occupation.
Yeah, yeah, and they expect a joke, or they expect, yeah, to be entertained on the spot, or even, this sounds silly to say, but they even like you too much. I know that sounds really weird, but like, a lot of times I'll be like, I'm a stand-up comedian, and then they're already laughing. I'm like, well, I haven't said anything funny yet, but thank you for laughing. But then, yeah, they sort of expect you to put on a show, and it's like, there's definitely times where I totally want to just not. Because part of me got it out as a comedian. Like, I get to perform enough, so that sort of element of my personality is satiated already. So then, hanging out with people, it's like, I'd love to hear their side of the story, or whatever. But then I hung out with one of my friends who's a doctor, and I noticed him being all cryptic about it. And I was like, why didn't you tell Peter you're a doctor? And he's like, well, I don't want to, you know, everyone showing me their rashes and stuff like that. Which I totally get, but is everybody going to do that? Probably not.
I don't know if this is an STD, but...
Exactly. Should I pop this pustule?
Yeah. You pull somebody aside and be like, listen, I've never had the S, but I wonder if this is a TD. Is that a possible thing?
Is this a TD? A touchdown? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. I don't think everybody would do that. So then I decided that I would start being less cryptic. But this is like a decision that I made like literally 2 weeks ago. So I can't really report back on it yet. If I just out with it and tell everybody I'm a stand-up comedian, if it turns out good or bad for me. But I've decided to just start owning it. So hopefully it works good.
Well, I think it'll end up working out for you for the better. I always think that, like, the people that are just, you know what, here's who I am, take it, or I can just not be a part of your life. That's kind of the thing that I've always gone by. And when I've been super true to it, it's certainly been when I've been most happy.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear. You've been in entertainment longer than I have.
Oh, so. Stop it. I'm not any sort of entertainer.
Well,
but you're welcome to compliment me again, and I'll hear it if you'd like.
Yeah, anytime.
Yeah.
And I like how your teeth are nice.
Oh, I like how you're nice.
Anytime.
I want to ask you three questions that we ask everyone that steps into the cultural hall. But before we do that, the name of the DVD is Peculiar People. It's out now. It's been out for, what, a couple weeks?
Yeah, I think so. Since like the beginning or middle of May or something.
So people can check that out. A lot of great comedians. Do you think you can list them all off right now?
Let's see. Abby Harrison, Aaron Whittle, Keith Harmson, the guy with the beard, Dave Nibley, and I don't know a guy with the beard that well. Dang it.
Oh, Beardy.
Julie Barton. I'm sure you know that.
Beardy. Beardy Rockwell.
I am not named Rockwell.
Beardy Rockwell. That's his name, right?
That's it.
It's Porter Rockwell's great, great, great grandson.
He's really funny. who else is on there? Oh yeah, Josh Fonacalafi and Isaac. What's happening right now with my brain? Isaac's a really good friend of mine.
Isaac hates you for not remembering
really
his name.
Isaac, if you're listening, I'm super hungry. And that's all I can think about. Anyway.
So people can check that out. It's called Peculiar People. All right, to the three questions, and then I'll let you go get food. What are you going to go eat?
Like some noodly stuff.
Yeah.
I love carbs. Yeah. I know some of you are on the paleo diet, but screw that.
Yeah, carbs.
Love. Spaghetti.
Carbs is where it at. Plus, if you're in Colorado for a big race, you got to carb up, man.
Well, I mean, I'm not running it, but yeah, I'll be working it.
Yeah, no. So you empathize with the other runners. You got to be like, oh man, yeah, I'm totally carbo loading.
Let's load this. Yeah, and they're running, and I'm in a chair, but I am talking to them.
And that does take energy.
I don't know how many calories talking burns, but I think it's pretty. Much the same as running.
I wish I could get a Fitbit like around the top of my head to under my jaw.
To see, like, I haven't ran, you know, that many steps, but I've said at least 2,000 words.
Right?
Which isn't that many, but no. I think women do 10,000 words a day, maybe like three or something.
Heck yes, we do. All right, the three questions. Let's get to it. You need to eat. You need to carbo load.
No problem.
First question. Do you, in fact, have a calling in your ward right now? And if so, what is it?
Yes. I am one of the FHE coordinators. So if you've ever been in a singles ward, you know that they have people who coordinate FHEs, and I do that.
And for people who don't know what FHE is, it's Family Home Evening. So when we talk about Family Home Evening...
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Number two, if you could pick a calling for yourself, either one that exists or make up one, what would you pick and why?
That one is a good question. And probably, this isn't that exciting of an answer, but probably Sunday school teacher. Because I like talking in front of a group. And then I think that they always get these cool insights, like during the lesson and stuff like that, and like getting different feedback from different people. So that'd be the one. That'd be a dream calling. Plus, to be honest, I know this sounds ridiculous, but it is a pretty open forum, and I'm pretty sure I could make people laugh during Sunday school, which I kind of want to do that. I used to be in Alex Boyer's ward.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Alex was the Sunday school teacher, and it was a riot. Every Sunday it was just, like, hilarious. And I have to admit that I was like, man, I really want that job. I think I could kill here, you know? But, I think maybe that's why I don't have that calling, because they're like, yeah, you just want to tell jokes.
Yeah.
And that's not fair.
It's not Sunday open mic.
No.
Steve,
no.
Sorry.
That's fast and testimony.
The final question that we ask everyone that steps here in the Cultural Hall is, what is your favorite part of your faith?
I think it's my smile. I think I lucked out.
No, your faith, not your face.
But my teeth are in my face.
No, oh, your face.
You gotta edit that out. I'm
no way. No way.
The vainest thing that you've ever had somebody answer back. But it's because my old buddy, Abe Sloan, he's very funny, he used to always ask that. He'd say, what's your favorite part about your face? And so that's why I thought you were asking that. And Abe has curly locks, and so he always would say, mine's my curly locks. I think I lucked out. And he did. All right. Enough about that. Trying to backpedal to cover up my ridiculous problem.
of vanity. Favorite part of my faith? That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think my favorite part is... Sorry it's taking me so long.
No, you're fine. I think people are still laughing that you said your smile, so don't worry about it. You've got plenty of time.
Yeah, they're still stuck on that. They're like, what an idiot. I think my favorite part of my faith is the part that it makes me happy. I know that, it sounds so, like, canned a little bit, but I like being happy, and that's my favorite part. Okay, here it is. I realized what it is. While I was giving you a canned answer, even though that is his favorite part. Because maybe it is a little bit of a personal question, so here's a personal answer. It's when I pray and, like, start it, and I can feel that he's listening. That is my favorite part. I love that part. And so when you say, you know, start your prayer, Heavenly Father, and you can feel there, that it's like, yeah, what do you need? My favorite part.
Awesome. And I just asked him, and he said he likes your smile too, so don't worry about it.
Solid.
We close out every episode of the Cultural Hall with a standard closing, and so you're welcome to chime in one of these if you have one that you've noticed and picked up through the culture over the years. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body. We hope that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety.
I'm going to say we'd like to thank Richie T for having me on this podcast, but I'm too busy, so we'd only like to. We'd like to, but we're very busy because we had already turned the time over, and it's out, so we're only going to like to thank you right now. I always think it's weird that we say we'd like to thank instead of just thanks.
Yeah. That's like, true, right? We'd like to thank.
Why don't we just thank him?
Yeah.
We'd like to, but we're very busy. We can't.
Bless, please, the hands that have prepared this show. And in the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row. We really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.